Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network.
You are listening to the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'm Kerry Lutz on 1230 WBZT. It's time once again for the major market wrap-up, monthly major market wrap-up with Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Kerry, and I want to congratulate you on the Liberty Mastermind Symposium. You know, I do something plus or minus 15 speaking events every year, and I can't say I've had as much fun at any of them this year as we had in Dallas this weekend.
Hey, well, I'm still on a high from it, I have to tell you. You know, I've put on a number of different speaking events throughout my career on different topics about different things. I always enjoy it because, you know, I just like to see people get together and exchange ideas, and you need to like keep getting refreshed, keep coming up with new ways, because especially in the liberty movement here, of which you and I and all of us who were there are members of, it's an individual kind of thing. It's a solitary existence, and if you don't get together, if you don't interact and really get freshened up once in a while, you go stale. And this one was really like on steroids, you know. It was so great because you got to hang out with people that email you, that watch you, that listen to you, that read you. And it was just a kind of singular experience that I'm telling you, Mickey, we hadn't talked a lot in the past month, but man, my stomach was in knots for the past 6 weeks, although I kind of eased off in the past 2 weeks leading up to it. I didn't know if we were going to have 20 people or 120. I didn't know if you guys were going to ever talk to me again, if it was going to be a success or a failure. I just didn't know what I was going to talk about. I mean, I was barely keeping it together, Mickey. And then 2.5 weeks ago, I talked to Robert, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, hey, they like me, they're coming. And I knew it was going to be great. And after that, it was just on cruise control. I knew it was going to be something worthy and something that you really needed to be at. And it exceeded all of my meager expectations in spades. And I would venture to say, Mickey, that everybody there was on the top of their game, from David Morgan, you, Elijah Johnson, you know, you name it, Aaron Clary. I don't think you ever got to meet Aaron before, but his presentation, Jay Taylor, you name it, everybody was really at the top of their game.
Well, we had fun. I know that, Kerry, and it's always good to get a community of people that of diverse views, but we all came together in the name of freedom of speech and liberty and trying to turn our country around from its present course. So let's hope that we have some efficiency of doing that at some point.
Yeah, somebody, I don't remember who said it, is we can't hope for this charismatic leader who is just going to get up there on the soapbox and lead a movement of millions of people, march on Washington and take the country back. It just isn't going to happen. The odds of it, highly unlikely. Nobody would believe that person if they got up there. It's got to start in each and every one of you's heart. That's where it begins, in your mind, that space between your ears, the thought, the movement, that's where it all begins. So let's hope that we started something. I'm not going to say that it's earth-shattering and it's going to turn everything around, but if it happens in enough rooms around the country, it will be an unstoppable force. So let's hope we were really in on the beginning of something great. And if it happens in enough places, Mickey, who the heck knows?
Absolutely, Kerry.
So let's talk about this last month's market movements here. God, we really saw some pain and suffering in certain of these markets. Let's start where there was the least amount of suffering, at least besides the energy markets, in the stock markets. So the Dow, you know, a little bit of pullback, but nothing too earth-shattering, huh?
Well, the major markets, Dow, S&P 500, NASDAQ, all down 1.5% on the month. But, you know, this is the beginning of Q3, so those markets were up somewhere between 12.5% to 15% over the course of this year so far. That would include the Russell 2000. Toronto Exchange Big Board was off 4%. And about the same for the quarter. I would attribute that to the drop in gold stocks. I would imagine that Barrick and Goldcorp are a significant part of that, and Kinross too, of that index. The worst performer in the first half was, of course, the Toronto Venture Exchange, off 28%, and down well over 8%. For the month, we are very near the historic low of late 2008, early 2009. So since this index was founded in, and the exchange was founded in 2001, we are approaching all-time lows. The emerging market index down 5% over the month, 10% over the year. I think you could blame that directly on the perceived slowdown in China, and certainly their interest rate policies, their tightening of credit, et cetera, probably has a lot to do with their slowdown, if you can believe their data. But the real story for the month, I think, was the precious metals absolutely got hammered. Gold down 15%, silver 16%. The platinoids did better. Platinum down 10%. Palladium, not much better, down 13% on the month, but it had held its own previously. For the half, gold down nearly 29%. Silver down 38%. So there's been carnage in the precious metal markets. Gold-silver ratio, 63. That's the high since we started doing this. Platinum to gold well over one now. Platinum palladium still hanging in at two, but at a most of the month it was less than two, and it my research showed it had been since October of 2002 since that had happened.
Wow. Hey, and you know, one thing, going back to the stocks, you and I had discussed that they were kind of ripe for a correction, because they'd gone for quite a while without a pullback. So I think our expectations were somewhat realized in that regard. But yeah, it was real carnage in the metals markets. And hey, what about copper? I mean, copper really got pretty good slam as well, didn't it?
Well, it did. It was down 10% over the quarter, 15% for the half. So we are in a relatively weak market, but it still has not closed below the magical $3 level. And, you know, there's all this tug of war going on in the copper market right now. We have the slowdown in China. We have record inventories, but we have long queues, and we have record canceled warrants. People can't get the copper out of the warehouses. We have severe supply disruption with Bingham Canyon offline, Freeport and the Grasberg still partially offline, projects canceled. So the copper market represents a mixed bag. And I actually did have a relatively new interview up on Kitco right now assessing the current state of the copper market in much more detail for those that are interested.
Yeah, interesting, because, you know, the metals seem to be implying deflation, and then we go to our energy markets, and what happened there?
WTI was up 5% on the month at well over $96 and flat for the quarter, but the same up 5% on the half. I think a lot of that has to do with the geopolitical situation in the Middle East, which is certainly in a bit of a turbulence right now, and that's would be good for oil generally. But at the same time, we've seen Brent, the Brent to WTI ratio decreasing, and so Brent has fallen much more rapidly, or has not down 8% on the half, and I think that's directly due to weak demand from Europe. So it becomes a relative strength sort of thing. The Brent to WTI ratio is at a low of less than 1.1, and that continues to narrow. The real down tick on the month for the energy sector was in Henry Hub, down almost 7%, but it was still up 8% on the half year. And I think that can be attributed to this is a very slow season for gas, but we should expect gas to pick up in the next couple of months as the summer air conditioning season comes into its prime. Meanwhile, uranium has slipped below $40, not much below, at $39.53, basically treading water right now. But by the same token, this is the low since July of 2010.
Yeah, down there, it's stuck down there, and it's just showing no, it's just listless, lifeless. So, and finally, we go to our currencies, and for the quarter, did absolutely nothing, zero. For the half, dollar's up 4.2%. I'll let you take it from there.
Well, I think that's the strong dollar is reflected, and it's been in the plus $83 range for well over a couple of months now. I think it's viewed as the lesser of all evils with huge amounts of the the increase in debt, the purchase of debt by central banks. What we are seeing is continued devaluation of all major currencies, and the dollar is looked at as very much the lesser of all evils. It still remains the world's reserve currency at this juncture. The euro is just treading water, and I would attribute that to the fact we haven't had any recent crises in Europe, but I'm sure there's one just around the corner at some point. And we're still looking for this big correction in the major markets. I mean, this it looks to me still that the major markets are overbought, and a correction is defined as a 10 to 30% drop. So we'll just sit on the sidelines and wait for the major markets to have a correction here. Who knows when it'll happen, but it's likely to be a very minor catalyst that'll kick it off.
Yeah, I hate to do this to your person that does these charts, but we're going to have to add another one.
What's that?
Shortly. Interest rates.
Okay.
Because
you think they're not going to stay at zero then,
huh? yeah, well, it's not on there, but we really need to talk about them now because the 10-year is up to 2.5%. It's going to go higher. Obviously, that's going to have some effect here on what's going on. And going back to the dollar, I'm reminded by an interview that I had with our friend Bob Hoy a while ago. You know, he's a market historian. He's traced back every credit bust cycle, going back to the tulip bust, tulip mania in the 1600s in the Netherlands. And what he said is that in the course of a credit bust, the reserve currency always does well in the aftermath, because the investors don't know where to go, and it's a perception of safety. And mm-hmm. He predicted this for the dollar several years ago in the time when I've since I've been doing this, Mickey, and that's what he predicted for the dollar. And that's exactly what we've witnessed here. The dollar was at 77, I believe, back in 2007. It's now at 83 as of the end of June. It's gone higher today, which is July 2nd, 2013. And it's probably going to go higher still till some point in the future when we have the next crisis. So none of this really is a surprise when you get down to it. Because investors, it's the only game in town when you've got billions of dollars traversing the globe. It's going to wind up in some type of dollar-denominated investment instrument. So I think you got to get your person to start tracking these rates. They're going higher. I don't think there's any question about it. And that's somehow going to get this whole crisis process moving again. And that's the black swan, for the black swan du jour, if you will.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. We should track interest rates, and but people talk about the strong dollar, but let's put this into context, Gary.
Yeah.
In 2000, 2001, the dollar was, I'll go at it the other way. The Canadian dollar was 62 cents to the U.S. dollar, and I know that because I did a lot of shopping on Robson Street in those days. So that was a strong dollar. Right now, it's relatively strong, but in 2007, I remember I was doing some work for Jay Taylor, and everybody, all these macro economists, guru types, even the Austrian economists, were saying that if the dollar ever goes below 80 on the index, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and it's spent most of the last 3 or 4 years below 80, and we're still saddled with the same banksters in this, and even more debt and more devaluation. So sometimes it's better to take a step back and look at a longer view.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct there. So anyway, give us your websites again. Every time I talk to you, there's another one. So tell us what we got.
Well, that's not quite true, but mercenarygeologist.com. I write a free newsletter, and I would encourage all my subscribers to look for my missive, my musing coming out on Independence Day, 4th of July, and we're going to get down to some of the things that have happened in this country, and the idea of liberty and freedom and life and the pursuit of happiness, and the idea that we can't let a government intimidate us into giving up our rights of free speech. That said, the other websites would be mercenarygeologist.fm. This interview will be up there shortly. And at mercenarygeo is the Twitter feed. And we have a lot of fun with Twitter. So I would encourage people to get my up-to-the-minute thoughts via Twitter every day.
All right, Mickey. And it's financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up. Get the free newsletter. Haven't done it the past 2 weeks. We've been super busy with the Liberty Mastermind, and we're at Kerry Lutz on the Twitter feed. So we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. You be well, Mickey. And it was really great seeing you. We had a super time.
Yeah, it was just so much fun. I'm still on cloud nine from all the thinking people I met there, you know, and it's always good to get a variety of viewpoints in it, and it makes you question some of your thinking inside the box.
It's always important to do that, and yeah, it was really a blast, and hopefully you'll all be there next year. So next year, January 11th is the tentative date. We'll have a sign-up sheet soon up on the site. Mickey, till next month, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Kerry.
The fight. Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network.